जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे किशोर किशोरी जय किशोर किशोरी जय किशोर किशोरी जय किशोर किशोरी जय प्रभु पादा जय प्रभु पादा जय प्रभु पादा जय प्रभु पादा
जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान शिवाइंग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति विदान श्रील प्रभुपाद की विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमादिष्ट वाइंग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज की अनंत कोटि वैष्णववृंद की नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरव भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की व्रज भूमि वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर नवद्वीप धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की वृंदावन धाम की गंगा मई जमुना मई की भक्ति देवी तुलसी महारानी की जय। हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय, संकीर्तन यज्ञ की जय, हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की जय, श्रीमद् भागवतम महाग्रंथ की जय, समावेत भक्तवृंद की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु श्री गौरांग, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री प्रभुपाद। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 7 टेक्स्ट नंबर 37। अधोक्षलजालम मिहाशुभात्मना शरीरिना संस्कृतिचक्र शातनम तद्ब्रह्म निर्वाण सुखम विदुर्बुधा ततो भजत्वं हृदये हृदीश्वरम् अधोक्षजालं मिहाशुभात्मना शरीरिना संसृतिचक्र शातनम् तद्ब्रह्म निर्वाण सुखम विदुर्बुधा ततो भजद्वं हृदये हृदीश्वरम् अधोक्षजालम्भम्याशुभात्मना शरीरिणा संसृतिचक्रशातनम् तद्ब्रह्म निर्वाण सुखम् विदुर्बुधा ततो भजद्वं हृदये हृदीश्वरम् Anyone? Adhokshaja, with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond the reach of the materialistic mind or experimental knowledge, Alambam, being constantly in contact, Iha, in this material world, Ashubha Atmana, whose mind is materially contaminated, Sharirina, of a living entity who has accepted a material body, Samsriti, of material existence, Chakra, the cycle, Shatanam, completely stopping, thought that Brahma Nirvana, connected with the Supreme Brahman, the Absolute Truth, Sukham, transcendental happiness, Viduho, understand, Buddha, those who are spiritually advanced, Tataha, therefore, Bhajadvam, engage in devotional service, Hridaye, within the core of the heart, Rit Ishwaram, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Super Soul within the heart. Translation: the real problem of life is the repetition of birth and death, which is like a wheel or rolling repeatedly up and down. This wheel, however, completely stops when one is in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, as a transcendental bliss realized from constant engagement in devotional service, one is completely liberated from material existence. All learned men know this. Therefore, my dear friends, O son of the Asuras, immediately begin meditating upon worshipping the Super Soul within everyone's heart. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Generally, it is understood that by merging into the existence of Brahman, the impersonal feature of the Absolute Truth, one becomes completely happy. The word Brahman Nirvana refers to connecting with the Absolute Truth, who is realized in three features: Brahmaiti, Paramatma iti, Bhagavan iti Shabdate. One feels Brahma Sukha, spiritual happiness, by merging into the impersonal Brahman, because the Brahma Jyoti is the effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yasya Prabha Prabhavato Jagadanda Koti. Yasya Prabha, the impersonal Brahman, consists of the rays of Krishna's transcendental body. Therefore, whatever transcendental bliss one feels from merging in Brahman is due to the contact with Krishna. Contact with Krishna is perfect Brahma Sukha. When the mind is in touch with the impersonal Brahman, one becomes satisfied. But one must advance further to render service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For one's remaining merged in Brahman, effulgence is not always assured. It is said, Aruhya Krichena Parampadam Tata Patanti Ado Nadrita Yushmadangraya. One may merge in the Brahman feature of the Absolute Truth, but there is a chance that one may fall because of not being acquainted with Adokshaja or Vasudev. Of course, such Brahma Sukha undoubtedly eliminates material happiness. But when one advances through impersonal Brahman and localized Paramatma to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in relationship with Him as a servant, friend, parent, or conjugal lover, one's happiness becomes all pervading. Then one automatically feels transcendental bliss, just as one becomes happy seeing the shining of the moon. One acquires natural happiness upon seeing the moon, but when one can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one's transcendental happiness increases hundreds and thousands of times. As soon as one is very intimately connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one surely becomes free from all material contamination. Ya nivritti tanuvritam, this cessation of all material happiness is called nivritti or nirvana. Srila Rupa Goswami says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1138, Brahmananda bhaved esha chet parardha gunakrita naiti bhakti sukham bodhe paramanu tulam api. If Brahmananda, the bliss of merging in the Brahman effulgence, were multiplied 100 trillion times, it would still not equal even an atomic fragment of the ocean of transcendental bliss in devotional service. Brahma bhuta prasanatma na shochati na kankati samas sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhate param. One who is transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed towards all living entities. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto the Lord. Bhagavad Gita 18:54. If one advances further from the Brahman Nirvana platform, one enters the stage of devotional service. Mat bhaktim labhate param. The word adoksha jalambam refers to keeping the mind always engaged in absolute truth, who is beyond the mind and material speculation. Savai mana krishna padaravindayo. This is the result of deity worship. By constantly engaging in the service of the Lord and thinking of his lotus feet, one is automatically freed from all material contamination. Thus the word Brahma Nirvana Sukham indicates that when one is in touch with the absolute truth, material sense gratification is completely nullified. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So Prahlad Maharaj is showing his merciful nature here upon his friends, the sons of the Asuras. This is the swabhavik or natural quality of a pure devotee, that he is compassionate on the fallen conditioned souls. And here there are two very important subjects that are addressed in this chapter that we are learning from. First of all, Prahlad Maharaj, he was, as you know, he was in the womb of his mother, Kayadu. And that time, he got the instructions from a great pure devotee of the Lord. Who is that great pure devotee? Narad Muni. So Narad Muni is personally teaching the little Prahlad, who is sitting as an embryo. We are so fortunate that we are sitting in our, you know, very well-developed form here in the temple room, in front of Prabhupada, in front of the deities, Kishore Kishori. So, Prahlad was not that fortunate. He was just a little tiny embryo. But, in other way, he was very fortunate because he got the direct association of the greatest pure devotee of the Lord, Narad Muni. And Narad Muni is personally teaching Prahlada's mother and the little Prahlad inside. So this is a very rare thing. And this clears up so many other side issues about if the embryo can hear and understand and pick up the most sublime knowledge or not. So that proof is right here, that Prahlad in his embryo form, he picked up much better than even his own mother. His mother, she was also hearing, Narad Muni. But over the period of time, she forgot the instructions. But Prahlad, he never forgot a single word what Narad Muni had taught him. So this is the secret of success. What is the secret? What is Shravanam? Is taught here by Prahlad. That in any kind of situation, one can capture the essence of life if one becomes attentive. That is what Prahlad is teaching by his own example. That his guru told him something very important and he took it to his heart. And this one thing we see as a common thread in all the great personalities, all the gurus, all the guru parampara. What is their specialty? Who is a real guru? Who is a real bona fide spiritual master? Anybody knows? Who is a real bona fide spiritual master? What is the first quality that is mentioned of a bona fide spiritual master? Anybody has any idea? Yes, Prabhu. He knows science of Krishna. Krishna Tattva Veta. That's very nice. Yes? Strict follower of the spiritual master. Very good. Anybody else? Yes, Prabhu? Huh? He's a student himself. Very good. Yeah. He does not change the message. Yes, Prabhu? He's capable of delivering his disciples from birth and death. That's a nice one. So these are the wonderful qualities of a bona fide spiritual master. Now, according to our scriptures, the first quality that is mentioned is Samitpani. Some of you mentioned. Samitpani means he is a very humble servant of his Guru Maharaj. That is the first qualification of a guru. That he himself is a number one disciple of his own guru, and very humbly he is serving his guru. Samit Pani. Pani means in the hands, and Samit is the proverbial wood that the disciple carries for the spiritual master to perform the sacrifice. Then the next one is Shrotriya. Samitpani Shrotriyam. Shrotriya means Shruti. You know Shrutis? What are the Shrutis? Shrutis are the first one that came out, manifested, or appeared from the body of Lord Mahavishnu at the time of creation. Everybody, all of us, the conditioned souls, are inside the body of Mahavishnu. And we are still sleeping inside the body. So the Shrutis are coming out first, and they are waking up the Lord Mahavishnu. They make their prayers. Just like in the old times, the kings, they would have, they are sleeping at night, in the morning they get up, but they don't get up on their own. The musicians and the singers come and they play the music and they sing the glories of the king. And the king is listening and half dream condition, and then he wakes up hearing his own glories, that how he is such a wonderful guy, how many battles he won, what he did marvelous, how many queens he has, etc., etc. So then he gradually wakes up, and then he is happy with the singers, he gives them some rewards, something. So this is how the tradition was. But the original tradition, it came from Lord Mahavishnu. He is waking up, woken up by the Shrutis, and then Mahavishnu, he starts the creation, and all the universes come out of his body, of the pores. And then in each universe, in a seed form, then, you know, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, then creation starts like that. Secondary creation, Lord Brahma comes out from Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, from the lotus navel. And then he creates the species of life, all the different species. So all of these things happen. And then finally, we also come out and we also are created according to our desires. We enter into different species of life. Whatever we had, the package before, so taking this package with us, in our subtle body, we take a form. It could be human being, it could be anything. So like that the creation starts. So everybody, including Lord Brahma and all of us, the conditioned souls, are called dirty people, impure or polluted. Why? Because we had some material desires. The material desires or desire to enjoy with material senses and mind is called pollution of the heart, pollution of consciousness. So with polluted consciousness, we are taking birth repeatedly. That is what is being mentioned in this verse. Prahlad Maharaj is addressing that issue. And the cause of suffering is also this polluted consciousness or contamination of the consciousness, mind, intelligence, etc. But the difference is that the Shrutis are not polluted. They are pure and they are completely spiritual, transcendental, just like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Supreme Lord Krishna. He is the original Supreme Personality, right? Krishna is to Bhagwan, Swayam. And from Krishna, who is the next one, incarnation or manifestation from Krishna directly? Lord Balaram, yes? From Lord Balaram, Mahasankarshan. From Mahasankarshan, who is coming? Chaturvyuha Avatar, first quadruple incarnation, Vasudev, Sankarsh, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. And from first quadruple, all the Vaikuntha Lokas are there, and each and every Vaikuntha Loka, there is one Vishnu, Vishnu form, that is manifested. And with each Vishnu, there is one Lakshmi also, and the Parshadas, the associates. So there is Vishnu and Lakshmi, and each, there are innumerable Vaikuntha planets, and there are innumerable Vishnus. So that is first quadruple. Then also from first quadruple, there is secondary quadruple, Chaturvya Avatar. And from that comes Mahavishnu. And from Mahavishnu, the Purusha Avatar is three Vishnus, Mahavishnu, Garbhodak, and Kshirodak Vishnu. So like that, sequence of all the Vishnus. So therefore, Krishna is also called Adi Vishnu or Adi Narayan. He is the origin of all these Vishnus in the Vaikuntha spiritual world, in the material world, all the incarnations, everybody. Who is the origin? Krishna. So that is being stated here. And this is also being stated by the Shrutis, because Shrutis are pure, uncontaminated. They did not take material birth like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Ganesh, Indra, Chandra, Varun, Vayu, all the demigods, demons, humans, all the different species. They all took birth through the material energy, through the external energy of the Lord, So they are in contact with the external energy of the Lord, everybody, the conditioned souls, including Lord Brahma. But the Shrutis are not, they did not appear like that. So they are considered transcendental, apaurusheya, just like Krishna is described as adokshaja. He's beyond the perception of senses and mind. We cannot, atashi Krishna namadi na bhaved grahyam indriya. Indriya means senses. With your senses, with our senses, we cannot grahya, we cannot capture Krishna. We can never figure it out, Krishna, or know anything about Krishna, realize Krishna, or see Krishna, or contact Krishna. Nothing is possible with our material senses and mind. People try to do that, but it doesn't work. Atha Krishna, even Krishna's holy name, Krishna Naam Adi, Naam Rup, Gun, Dham, Leela, everything, not available through the material apparatus, material instruments. So how it can be available? Sevon Mukehi Jivadau Swayam Eva Spurati Adaha. That by seva, seva means service. Service with what? Jiva. Jiva is tongue, right? And jiva adi means tongue, ears, they are the main ones, then other senses. So when you start serving Krishna with your tongue, how do you serve Krishna with your tongue? Chant Hare Krishna? I thought taking prasadam. With the tongue, you start chanting Hare Krishna, but usually we start by taking prasadam. First we come in contact with the devotees somewhere. So generally, first they don't say chant Hare Krishna. They might, but they usually offer you some prasadam. So you eat the prasadam, you purify it, and then maybe you feel like chanting. In the beginning, many people, they don't feel like chanting. They think it's just crazy. Doesn't make sense. What is this chanting? So, but if you are very smart, then you can actually, even without taking prasadam, you can start chanting. That is possible also. So that means you are advanced from previous life, that you just immediately got into chanting the holy names. That's very wonderful. And hearing, before chanting, hearing comes. So you hear from somebody. Now if that somebody is a Brahmavadi, Brahmavadis are mentioned in this verse, then you will be, when you are chanting, what you will be thinking? You will be thinking about the Brahman effulgence of the Lord. Om, 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 you know they are oming. So this oming is for that purpose, to achieve Brahman effulgence. Omkara. So, if you chant the holy names, if you hear the holy names from the person that you are hearing from, that is going to decide where you're going to go. If you hear the holy names from a materialistic man, totally materialistic man, and he's chanting Hare Krishna, and you hear, and you say, this is so wonderful, then you also become a very good materialistic man. You don't go back to Godhead. But what if you hear the holy name from a demon, like Hiranyakashipu is mentioned here, like Hiranyakashipu, he's chanting Hare Krishna. So you hear from him very nicely. Or Ravan. Ravan, he was a very nice singer, very nice poet, musician. He was the best musician and singer. He wrote his own poetry. He was very good. Very scholarly fellow. So if he's chanting Hare Krishna and you hear and you become ecstatic, then what you become? You become pure devotee? No. You become pure demon. So whoever you hear from, that is what's going to decide. That's why you hear from sadhu. The real guru, bona fide spiritual master, means samit pani shrotriya, brahmanistam. So this Brahman, Krishna says, brahmanohi pratishta aham. This Brahman effulgence is coming from my spiritual body. In Bhagavad Gita, he says that Brahmanoi Pratishtha. So, this Brahman effulgence, if it is coming from Krishna's spiritual body, then who do you meditate upon when you are chanting Hare Krishna? You meditate on the light or you meditate on the Satchidananda Vigraha? Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadi Radhi Govinda Sarvakaran Karanam. So, devotees, we are taught by our Guru Maharaj to meditate and worship on the transcendental form of the Lord. And the light is included because the light is coming. Just like the sun, when we look at the sun, the light is included because the light is coming from the sun. So it is all inclusive. The form of the Lord includes the Paramatma feature, the light feature, everything is included. So devotees, therefore Krishna says, Yoginam api sarvesham madgate nantratma. Shaddhavan bhajate yomam same yukta tamamata. That out of all different kinds of yogis, jnanis, everybody, who is the best? First he says, Karmibhyo adhiko yogi. Yogi is better than the karmis. Jnanibhyo adhiko yogi. And yogi is even better than the jnanis. Tasmad yogi bhava arjuna. Therefore, Arjun, you become yogi. Then in the next verse, what does he say? Yoginam api sarvesh. Out of all the yogis, who is the best yogi? Madgaten antaratmana. That if you are in your antaratma, totally dedicated to me, Krishna says, you are fully dedicated to madgaten antaratma. Shraddhavan bhajate. And with full faith, complete 100% faith, you are bhajate. You are worshipping Krishna, you are serving Krishna, performing all kinds of devotional services. Same yukta tamam. He is the best out of all. Even out of all the yogis, he is the best. So that is the description of a bhakti yogi. That is our description. We are all bhakti yogis. We are performing bhakti yoga. So therefore, as devotees, we are better than any yogi that who can fly in the sky or walk on water or do whatever he wants to do. Any kind of magic tricks he can do. But still, bhakti yogi, devotees are better than yogis. What to speak of the karmis and the jnanis? Much, much better. So this is Krishna's certification. He gives the certificate to the devotees in Bhagavad Gita. So Prahlad Maharaj, he is teaching the same science to his friends, and this is his compassion. So what he heard from his guru, Narad Muni, now he is becoming guru for his friends and he is teaching his friends, little children in the school and making them also devotees of Krishna. So this is the main thing here to learn, that we hear from the pure devotee, we insist that we do not hear from anyone else but only from the pure devotee of the Lord. Just like Srimad Bhagavatam is Amal Puran, it's the description. Everything is pure gold, 100% gold, there is no mixture. So Bhagavatam, all the pure devotees and all the incarnations of Krishna and Krishna's life himself, Krishna and the coward boys, Krishna and Nanda Yashoda, Krishna and the gopis, Krishna and Radharani, all the devotees in Braj Vrindavan, devotees in Dwarka, Vaikuntha planets, everything is pure nectar filled in Srimad Bhagavatam. So whatever we learn, we hear from Srimad Bhagavatam that is described here, that is the key to success, Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. So these topics we are, as I get more chance, we'll be discussing further, hopefully today and tomorrow, whenever we have next schedule. What time we are ending the class? 8:30? Okay, so we'll leave also some space for questions and answers regarding today's topic, because it's a very big topic that is being addressed here. And we are just touching upon the first the qualification of the guru, that who is a real guru, who is a bona fide spiritual master. So Samit Pani Shrotriya, Brahmanista, means he is totally dedicated to Krishna. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavan. That the guru, he is 100% dedicated. He has heard from the Shrutis, from the pure transcendental knowledge. He has heard from his guru. He has received his instructions from the guru, and he has captured these instructions in his heart. And then he himself becomes a guru, and he disseminates this knowledge to the other conditioned souls. Because now, after hearing and chanting properly, he has become a pure devotee of the Lord. He has become liberated. Ihar yasya harir dasya karmana manasagira nikila avasthasu jivan mukta sa uchyate. That harir dasya, this is the secret to understand one's real situation, one's real position. What is my real position? That I might say my real position is that I am sitting in Chicago. So, that's a position, but that's not the real position. Or I might say, when I look at myself in the mirror, I look like an old Indian fellow. So that's also not a real position. Because I was here in this temple 10 years back. How many years back? 8 years back? I was not so old that time. When I came here first time in 72 and 73 and joined ISKCON actually in Chicago, temple here, not here in Evanston, we had temple that time. And in Evanston I joined, so that time I was young fellow like you guys. I was only 23, 24 years old. So those days were very beautiful, ecstatic days. And that time I also looked like all of you, very young, energetic. So what you see is actually not the truth, what you see here, because it's been changing. My form has been changing, right? So what is the reality then? The reality is that something that is inside, that my real self as a soul, what is my reality? As a soul, what is my connection with Krishna? That is the reality. That I am servant of Krishna, I am connected with Krishna. So we have to find out that reality, that what is my connection with Krishna, what is my relation with Krishna. And according to that relationship, I have to now act. Exactly according to that relation with Krishna. Not with any other connections. I have wife and children, so I have to act according to that. No. That is a secondary issue. That is not the primary focus. Or I have a job, or I have business, and I have to do certain things. Those are my priorities. As soon as I get up, I have to go to business. I get up at Mangalarti time, 4 o'clock, take my bath, jump in my car, and go to my business. That is important for me. No. That means the priorities are not understood properly. The reality, the person is far, far away from the reality. The reality is first thing, the first priority is that I understand Jiveshwarupoya Nitya Krishna Das. I am eternal servant of Krishna. And first thing I have to do is to, in relationship to Krishna, to revive, to reawaken my original consciousness, I start my activities. And then continue these activities as far as possible all throughout the day. If there are some other activities required in relation, secondary activities, job, business, etc., that's okay. You can do that, no problem. But this is the main theme. This is the qualification that is being described by Prahlad Maharaj here. And he's making his friends, devotees. So this is the greatest benediction, that the person becomes enlightened first with the knowledge from the Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, from Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad, from spiritual master, from the Vaishnavas, from Guru Parampara. And then he starts to give this knowledge to others. We have the benediction also to give this knowledge ready-made in the form of the books. So we distribute books also, books of Prabhupada. And that way also we are, in that way also we are working as agents or representatives of Prabhupada. So we are gurus in that way for the people that we give the books to. Prabhupada is the guru, yes, he is the Shiksha guru. But because we are becoming instrument to give somebody the book, so that way we can say we are also kind of a guru to that person, whoever we give the book. So this is the greatest blessing, that Prahlad Maharaj is showing us the path, that first we learn the truth and then we give it to others. So I will stop here. We have a few more minutes, and you have some questions or comments, so please feel free to express yourself.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for class.
Hare Krishna.
So you mentioned that the best of all yogis is the one who performs devotional service, one who's a bhakta. And it's also described that all the yoga systems require some element of bhakti to make that person successful. So could you say that technically everyone is a bhakta, or what actually qualifies one as like a pure bhakta?
In a very wide range, if you like, you know, if you go according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a pattern, description of bhakti, and definition of bhakti, who is bhakti, and who is a bhakta. Now you want to expand it, and you want to include as many people as possible, because you feel very generous, like, okay, let's try to get as many as possible in the group. So then you can say that the Karmi people, they're working very hard. Out of all the Karmis, who is working the hardest? I can think of a few, but you can tell me. Who is, say, for example, the coal miners, they go deep inside the mines and they are working hard, right? And they're black and blue, they're, you know, completely. And whole life goes just so they can pay the bills, maintain the family, they're working very hard. And also most of the people outside also, they're working to just to maintain the family, and so they can, you know, have the house and car and pay the bills on time. So the bank doesn't kick them out of their house, etc. So they're working hard all their life. Now, if they come to the temple, any one of them, they come to the temple for darshan, they have darshan of the deities, Kishore Kishori, say for Janmashtami, then would you call them devotees? Because every day they're working hard, but at least they came once in a year, Janmashtami. Let's go to the temple and have darshan, get the blessings of the Lord. So would you call them devotees? Yes? No? So they don't do anything else all throughout the year. They are busy with their personal issues, family issues, etc. But at least they came once. So they are getting some credit. Yes. But if you expand the definition, then you can say, yes, they are some kind of devotees, because out of some devotion they came for darshan. Or somebody, you bring him, you invite him, and he takes your invitation and he comes out of the street and into the temple, and he also sees the deities. So there is some starting point, yes. But the devotee or Vaishnava is a very, very specific personality. And that according to Srimad Bhagavatam, a devotee or Vaishnav is 100% devotee, fully, full-time devotee. Even if he is in any business or job or anything he is doing, he is doing it to satisfy Lord Krishna, to make Krishna happy, and to satisfy his guru, his spiritual master happy. There is no other reason for him to do anything in the world, any job, any business, any activity. Everything he is doing is only for the sole purpose of making Krishna happy. So that is the devotee. And the karmis, jnanis, yogis, they may add a little bit of devotion here and there, but strictly speaking, they are not coming in the category of devotees. Mishra bhaktas means mixed devotees are there, karma mishra bhakti, jnana mishra bhakti. So there is a certain percentage of karma and certain percentage of bhakti mixed together. So they are called mixed up devotees. Karma mishra means karma mixed up. Jnana mishra means knowledge mixed up devotees. So that grouping is there, that is available. And there are famous examples like Indra is, for example, considered as a karma mishra bhakta. That he is some kind of devotee because he remembers, he calls for help to Lord Vishnu, Kshirodakshayi Vishnu. He prays and he is asking for help whenever he is in trouble, the demons give him trouble, then he is begging for help, and that time he remembers. Otherwise he doesn't remember the Lord. He's like, you know, right now I'm busy, I don't have time. But when he's in trouble, then he finds some time to pray. So that is called karma mishra bhakta. So similarly, there are jnana mishra bhaktas also. Lord Brahma was like that, jnana mishra. So there are famous examples like that. But Bhagavatam is inspiring, inducing everyone to come out of this kind of karma and jnana kind of ideas and become a pure devotee, because that is where the real bliss, real satisfaction, real enjoyment, real peace, everything is there in pure devotional service. It's not in other platforms, it's not available. Mishra Bhakti doesn't give that. So that's the idea. All right? Anyone else? Yeah, yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. It says in the verse that we gain happiness or bliss from performing devotional service. But we're also, it's very important to stay sober. So I'm wondering if you can explain.
Stay sober.
Stay sober while you're happy. While you're happy, make sure you're still staying sober.
In devotional service?
Yeah.
Why you want to stay sober? Devotional service makes you happy naturally. So the description that Prahlad Maharaj is giving here, when I was reading, I got the idea that he was telling us not to be sober. He was telling that this devotee is, when the natural quality of the devotee is that when he comes in contact with the Lord in the form of his holy name, or his beautiful form, deity form, or his Satchidananda form, or his pastimes, anywhere he comes in contact, then he becomes jubilant. He becomes ecstatic, and these ecstatic symptoms may come out naturally. Now, if you are in the company of devotees, you can all dance together, forgetting the whole world. That is very nice. But also, the soberness is required when you are in the company of non-devotees. Then you don't show your ecstatic symptoms, but rather you control yourself, because there is a presence of non-devotees, and therefore you don't want to exhibit any of your jubilant symptoms. So there is two kinds of approaches in that regard. But when you are in the company of devotees, then Prahlad Maharaj is encouraging, and sometimes even, you know, these very high-class devotees, they become ecstatic and they dance and they forget the whole world and they show their ecstatic. But as the practicing devotees, we are not on that platform, so as practicing devotees, it is nice to be sober and not show too much ecstasy, because we may not be on that spontaneous ecstatic kind of situation. And in the company of pure devotees, sometimes we feel the ecstatic symptoms, we get the presence. Because of the presence of the very great Vaishnava devotee, we also get that transferred in our consciousness, and momentarily we are acting like pure devotees. And then that pure devotee goes away, and then we again become normal people. Ecstasy is gone. So it can come and go like that. But so sober is good, but I'm more in favor of ecstasy. So I like to be happy. But anyway, it's a personal choice. You like sober? Because you go outside, walk outside, everybody is sober. Everybody is just like, you know, some mountain is on their head. Oh, I have to do so many things. There's no value of things that they are thinking about, that I have to do this, that, and that, I have to make $1,000,000. But what is the value of that money? Because they have to leave everything and then go empty-handed and then get punished by the Yamadutas for all their misbehavior, all the sinful activities they performed. Their money can save them, or whatever prestige they accumulated, is it going to save them or do anything? No. Even if somebody is a prime minister or president or anybody in this world, great scientist, great doctor, philosopher, anything. But all of these things, they cannot help. He has to, the Yamadutas, they don't consider, oh, you are such a great scientist, you got Nobel Prize, so we will reduce your punishment. No, they say we will increase your punishment. Because you also misguided so many more people, innocent people, you fooled them. So we're going to punish you more. So all this hard work that they perform and do these unnecessary things that are not going to help them or help anybody else is a burden and is a cause of their punishment and suffering. Whereas the devotee, he does not have all this extra baggage. He leaves all the baggage outside the temple and he's just relaxed and he's just fully happy and he just wants to enjoy in the atmosphere, spiritual atmosphere, by performing his devotional service that starts with hearing and chanting and then remembering Krishna and then reading about Krishna and then sharing Krishna consciousness and offering different services in the form of deity worship, etc. So this is devotee's happiness, and he learns how to always remain happy. All right? Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you for the class. If you have the time, I'd like to ask another question. So basically, it's understood that pure devotional service automatically grants one liberation. How can desiring liberation separately from the Lord, or maybe desiring to merge into his impersonal effulgence, how can that hinder our ability to please the Lord and to be engaged in devotional service? And
that topic is first of all addressed in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first canto. The first verse is Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Krishna Vasudev, I offer my obeisances to you. You are the origin, Janmadi Asya Yataha. You are origin of everything. Everything emanates from you. So that is the first verse, and then in second verse, Bhagavatam says, Dharma Projita Kaitavotra Paramo Nirmacharanam Satam. So Kaitav Dharma is cheating religion. There is four categories in that. Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. You understand? Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. These are the four Purusharthas for the material, to have material enjoyment. I want to do some pious activities so I can enjoy a better quality of life. That is Dharma. That is material Dharma. And Kama means material enjoyment. I want to enjoy with my senses. That is Kama. Dharma, Artha. Artha is economic development. I want to accumulate money so I can also enjoy better. That's why I want to get some more money, economic. And Moksha, I want liberation from this samsara and merge into Brahman in the effulgence, light of the Lord. So that is Moksha. So all of these are considered as cheating religion or not real Purusharta, not the real goal of life, but they will create more problems than solve any problem for you. Therefore, they are called cheating religions. So Bhagavatam, in the second verse, kicks out these four kinds of things that I mentioned. And it establishes the Pancham Purusharth, or the only goal of life, only goal of doing anything in life, should be to make Krishna happy by performing loving devotional service. That is taught by your spiritual master. That is taught by your Srimad Bhagavatam Bhagavad Gita. That is taught by the Vaishnavas, the Guru Parampara. So this is what is described as the Bhagavad Dharma. So Bhagavad Dharma is differentiated from the Kaitav Dharma, or the cheating religion, or this thing that is being kicked out in the second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam always emphasizes in different chapters, if you see, different personalities, how they are establishing the real religion. The real religion is, Dharma is from the Sanskrit Dri, Dri Dhatu, it's coming from Dri, means to uphold and to have as one's intrinsic quality. So as a soul, what is our dharma? We are soul, we are not the body. So as a soul, our dharma is to serve God, serve Krishna. That is our dharma. So when we are situated in our dharma, then we are happy. When we are not situated in serving Krishna, not in our dharma, then we are unhappy. So that's how the dharma is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Alright? Okay, anybody else, or somebody is here? Yes, Mataji. You have, give her a microphone.
I just want to make sure I understand properly what you said today, because we are very conditioned, and you said that if we hear from the person a holy name, and whatever is in the mind of this person will enter our mind, so does it mean the essence of the bhakti process is to hear from pure devotees and yes. Serve them?
Yes, yes, that is true. Actually, that is the God's honest truth, that bhakti can only be attained from bhakta. And also, there are more details in that, that there are many different kinds of wonderful bhaktas. There are many wonderful devotees. So devotees are, there are four sampradayas. Four different Vaishnava sampradayas, as you know. Rudra sampradaya, Lord Shiva's sampradaya. Lakshmi Shri sampradaya, that is Lakshmi sampradaya. Then there is Sanat Kumar, Kumar Sampradaya, and there is Brahma Sampradaya, Brahma, Lord Brahma Sampradaya. So we are in Brahma Sampradaya, we are Brahma Sampradaya people. So all these sampradayas, they have the ability to teach you devotional service that will qualify to go up to Vaikuntha planet with Lord Vishnu and Lakshmi. Because the worship, the style of worship and serving the Lord is in awe and reverence. But then in Brahma Sampradaya, further going down, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and he introduced the what is called not the worship in awe and reverence, but worshipping in pure love of Godhead with madhurya seva, means the vraj, the how the vraj people or the residents of Vrindavan, how they are worshipping the Lord. He taught that particular specialty. And that Lord Chaitanya's way of worshipping the Lord or his disciples or grand disciples, his guru parampara, the, all of the gurus who are coming under him, Lord Chaitanya, like Prabhupada and everybody, so they, when they are teaching, then you are becoming a Vrajvasi. In order to becoming a resident of Golokdham Vrindavan or Vrajvasi, you have to hear and learn from a Vrajvasi. Now in Vrajvasis, if you hear from a Dasya Bhakta, then you also become a Das Bhakta. If you hear from a Sakya Bhakta, then you become a Sakya, Sakha. You become a coward boyfriend of Krishna. If you hear from Vatsalya Bhakta, then you become like assistant of Nanda and Yashoda. You become Vatsalya Bhakta. And if you hear from a Madhurya Bhakta, you hear from a gopi or assistant gopi of Krishna, then you also become a gopi of Krishna. So whoever you hear from and learn from, that is what you can become. So this is how it works, that whoever is your guru, he can take you in his specialty. Just like you want to become a brain surgeon, and you go in the medical school, college, you get your degree, and finally you take a training as a brain surgeon. So you are working under an expert brain surgeon to become a good brain surgeon, right? You don't go to kidney specialist to become a brain surgeon. So like that, what kind of devotee you want to become? That then you select that kind of guru. Now if you go to an impersonalist and accept him as guru, you are not going to Golok, even you are not even going to the Vaikuntha Loka, you're not going anywhere. You are in trouble. So therefore, selecting the guru is very important, and hearing is very important. Because once you hear somebody and you put your trust in that person, then your consciousness will be gradually dovetailed in that direction. The more trust you put in non-devotees, the more you will become non-devotees. And the more trust you put in the devotees, then you will become devotee. And the more trust you put in the better devotees or the best devotee, the highest devotee, then you can also become the highest devotee. So whoever you hear and put your trust and absorb that knowledge and grasp it and capture it and digest it and assimilate and then act upon it, so then you will become better and better devotee. One day you can become the best devotee by hearing. This is the formula Prahlad Maharaj is giving right here as a proof that he heard from the best devotee, Narad Muni, and he became the best devotee. All right? Anything else? Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.